Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 14, the book of Luke chapter 14. I have had the message on my heart all this week, from early part of the week, Tuesday, I guess, Wednesday, and I kind of struggled with it just a little bit, trying to figure out what the Lord wanted me to preach on this morning. That's one of the hardest part of my job is knowing what the Lord wants me to do. I don't know about how it is in your life, but sometimes that is the hardest thing you ever tried to figure out. And sometimes you just have to go by knowing the best you can do and trusting the Lord. Sometimes it's like the weather. It's real clear. And then other times it's cloudy. Sometimes the sun's shining. Sometimes it's raining. And that's the way your walk with the Lord is. But when it's cloudy, the Lord wants you to just keep walking, and He'll reveal to you the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, the Bible says. And if your heart's right, He'll lead you and guide you. And I believe He's directed me all week to this message this morning. And I've preached on it before, but not exactly like I'm going to this morning. It's the old message of excuse making here in Luke chapter 14. Look at verse 16. Luke chapter 14, verse 16. Luke chapter 14, verse 16. Well, just a minute. Everybody get settled down. And I want you to keep just quiet and still so everybody can be sure and hear. Chapter 14, verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade a lot of people come, and sent his servant at supper time to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. I'm not going to preach on this, but let me show you something in that verse. Bade me, invited, he bid. I bid you to come. And then that second verse there said he sent his servant at supper time. Supper is a good word. Don't ever let nobody make fun of you for saying we're going to eat supper. Amen? You ever been laughed at by somebody that thought they was educated because you used the word supper? They say, no, that's not correct. It's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Well, if that's all right if you won't call it that. Now it's breakfast, brunch, and dinner. But in the Bible, it's supper. Supper. Nothing wrong with that. That don't mean you're dumb if you use the word supper. That's a good Bible word. And it come, the Lord said, I'll sup with him, he with me. Dinner means dine, come and dine. And lunch, I don't know what that means. But we always said breakfast, dinner, and supper. So you're not being improper when you use that terminology. Breakfast, break fast. See, you fast it all night and you break it the next morning. Break fast. Amen? I don't know if that's what that means. That's what I figured it means. You break your fast every morning. You fast it all night. Some of you didn't fast all night, though, did you? You got up in the middle of the night and ate a bowl of cereal. Went back to bed. Couldn't even make it all night long. But break fast, you quit fasting after doing that all night. Then you eat dinner, dine. Then you eat supper that evening. Then you snack before you go to bed. Then you sweat oldies and try to get it off. But anyway, he said they come at supper time. Look at verse 18. And they all with one consent begin to make. See that word? Make excuse. They had an excuse. Said they made one. You know why? Nobody has an excuse not to come to the Lord. You can make an excuse, but you don't have an excuse. I have people all the time say, well, I have an excuse. No, you don't. You don't have no excuse to keep them coming to God. You can make up one, but you don't have one. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. Now, what kind of a guy would buy a piece of land and not ever see it? See that excuse? He said, I bought some of that oceanfront property in Colorado, and I got to go look at it. See, that was his excuse. Nothing said, I bought a yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. 20, another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Somebody said, he's the only one that had a real excuse. God said, you can forget it, son. I got married. I can't come. But that ain't right. That guy didn't accept that stuff. He said, that ain't gonna cut it. I ain't gonna swallow that. These guys ain't got no excuse not for coming. And I want to preach to you this morning on some excuses that are sending people to hell. A lot of people don't realize it, but you can excuse yourself and excuse yourself and excuse yourself right into a lake of fire one of these days if you're not careful. Excuse making is an old, old business. If my daddy said a long time ago, daddy used to say, people gonna do what they wanna do, and what they don't wanna do, they'll make an excuse to keep from doing it. And the reason people are not here this morning, flooding these altars, getting saved, is because they have an excuse and they just don't want to do it, so they make up an excuse why they can't do it. I run into people all the time and I say, have you got saved yet? They say, well, preacher, this. Or, well, preacher, that. I've heard a lot of them, and I've heard the same ones you've heard. I'm going to go over some of the main ones this morning and show you that all an excuse does is get you in trouble. Because one day when you stand before God at the judgment, the Lord will not accept any excuses. God provided a plan of salvation for you. The Lord made it possible for everybody here to go to heaven when you die. And if you don't get saved, if you don't get saved, you're going to stand before God one day and give an account. And the Lord's going to say, why didn't you get saved? And you're going to say, well, because of this and because of that and because of the other. And the Lord's going to say, no good. Those excuses don't hold water here in the courtroom on the great judgment day. I'm going to go over some of the most popular ones this morning. And I hope and pray that if I shoot these excuses out from under you today, that you'll come and get saved. I don't doubt this morning that there's probably several people in here today that's never been saved. Deep down in your heart, you know that there's never been a time when you really, really, really got born again. Down in your heart, you know it. I want to ask you, what is your excuse? These excuses will send people to hell. There's people in hell this morning that did not go to church last Sunday and was alive. And they had an excuse why they didn't go to church. And they're wound up in hell today, and the devil's happy with it. The first one I want to mention is, of course, the one that everybody knows, and that's that there are too many hypocrites in the church. I talk to people, lots and lots of people, and they'll say this. I'll say, why don't you come to church and get saved? And they'll say, I'll tell you why I don't come. There's too many hypocrites in the church. If people in the church live no better than that, then I just ain't going to go. Well, I want to tell you a few things about that this morning. I'd be the first person to admit that there are hypocrites in the church. Everybody knows that. There always have been. There always will be. Everybody in the church is not what they're supposed to be. I'm not everything I'm supposed to be. Nobody in here is everything they're supposed to be. We try. We love the Lord. We do our best to live for God and do what we're supposed to. But there are people in every church that I've ever been to in my life, there is people in that church that's not everything they're supposed to be. And there's sometimes people in that church that's not what they claim to be. They're just a flat out hypocrite. Let me tell you something about hypocrites. You're not a hypocrite if you just walk in the door, sit down and listen and leave. That ain't a hypocrite. People say, well, I don't want to come to church. I don't want to be a hypocrite. That's not a hypocrite. That's just, you're not claiming anything. A hypocrite is somebody that says, I'm this and I'm that and I'm this and I'm that and I'm living a certain way when they know good and well they're living another way behind your back. That is a hypocrite. As long as you're not claiming nothing, you're not being a hypocrite at all just by coming in the church and sitting down and listening. Now, I want to admit to you this morning, there are hypocrites in the church. There are hypocrites in the church. You heard a preacher admit it. You hear it? You listening? You heard me admit it. People say, oh, everybody at that church thinks they're it. No, we don't. I don't know anybody that thinks they're it. We know that we're a bunch of sinners that ought to be in hell. And when you're looking at me and us, you're looking at the grace of God. I was just on my way to hell, didn't deserve this. But God, by His grace and His mercy,
picked us up and put us here. We're not here because we deserve, because of His love and His mercy and His grace. There are hypocrites in the church. Now, just so you'll know it, there are hypocrites everywhere else too. There are hypocrites on your job. Don't you work with people that when the boss man starts coming down the hall, they really get too busy and start doing their job? Don't you kids go to school with kids that straighten up when the teacher walks in the room? Well, let me ask you something. You work with hypocrites. You go to school with hypocrites. If you go to school with hypocrites and go to work with hypocrites and won't go to church with a hypocrite, you're the biggest hypocrite of all. Listen, you hate hypocrites so bad, you is one. Do you know that? Here's a man that says, you'll never catch me in church. I'm not going down there with that bunch of hypocrites. Oh, you go to the grocery store though, don't you? The hypocrite's grocery store. You go to the flea market. You go to the movies. You go bowling. You go here. Those hypocrites at all them places. Why don't you be consistent, you hypocrite? Why don't you quit going to all them other places where the hypocrites go? The truth is, the hypocrites in the church ain't stopping you. You're using that for an excuse because you don't want to get right with God. And one of these days, listen, there was hypocrites in the disciples group there. The Lord had 12 disciples, one of them biggest hypocrites ever been. Judas Iscariot. He betrayed the Lord and sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. Yet Jesus expected Peter and James and John and Andrew and Thomas and all them fellas to follow him and serve him and not drop out just because Judas was a traitor. You know what? I've seen people turn out to be hypocrites since I've been saved. But I've made up my mind that I'm not going to answer to them one day. I'm going to answer to God. I'm going to stand before God. And it's not before the hypocrites. It don't matter if somebody beside you is a hypocrite or in front of you or behind you. You have to answer to God for yourself. And one day you're going to stand before God. And He's not going to say, well, so-and-so did this, so you're off the hook. You will answer to God for yourself for what you've done. There's a man told some of our guys, went visiting right after Jim Baker messed up. They knocked on his door and that man told him, he said, "Ah, a bunch of TV preachers, they ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. I'll never step foot again in a church as long as I live." That man's a fool, talk like that. It's not God's fault. You can't blame God for Jim Baker messing up or Jimmy Swaggart messing up. Don't you, you know what you're doing? You're just using that excuse for your own low-down sins so you can live like you want to live and blame somebody else. God's not going to take that excuse one day. Look up there at me. You're going to stand before God one day. You're going to stand before the Lord one day by yourself and give an account to God for your life. God, help you this morning. Don't use that hypocrite. Oh, I'd rather go to church with a hypocrite than go to hell with him. Amen. Somebody said, if a hypocrite's keeping you from God, that means he's closer to God than you are. That's right. That's right. He stands between you and God. He's closer to God than you are. You better forget him. Listen, I've seen a lot of people that ain't what they're supposed to be. That don't mean nothing. I find no fault in him. The Lord's what he's supposed to be. That's excuses that are sending people to hell. And I'll guarantee you there's people in hell this morning screaming, begging, drop of water on their tongue. And all their life, when somebody tried to get them to get saved, they said, well, I'll tell you what, them preachers over there, that deacon sold me a car and that thing wasn't no good and that Sunday school teacher lied to me and all of that. And they're in hell this morning because of you for an excuse. I've heard people say, I'm too big of a sinner. Why don't you say, oh, preacher, you don't know how I've lived. I've committed so many sins, God could never forgive me. Oh, I want to tell you this morning, nobody's too big a sinner to be saved. The Lord has saved, the Lord will save the chiefest and worst kinds of sinners. You know what? You get a false impression sometimes. Sometimes you walk in here and you see our choir and all these ladies up here in their pretty dresses and their hair fixed, having men up here, their ties on and everything. Sometimes you walk in, you know, if you're really living a rough life, and maybe you was out drunk last night or partying or something, and you think, my, I could never fit in with these good people. And you think, boy, I'm just a sinner. Well, I wish you could seen some of them when they walked in here. I was thinking about Jerry over. I seen him come out of the choir. Where you at, Jerry? Raise your hand. I knew he sat right over there somewhere. Stand up over there a minute. I'll use him for an example. Hate to embarrass him, but I done it now, so don't be mad at me. And old Jerry there, you ought to seen him first time. First time he come to church, when he had his back turned to you, you thought it was a woman. He had a big ponytail way down here. He looked sickening as Billy Ray virus. And I love Brother Jerry, and God done a work in his heart. You know what he done? He got saved. And I ain't going to tell you all the life he lived, but God done a work in his heart. You look at him this morning and say, well, that's a fine, young, clean-cut young man singing in the choir. Listen, one day he was in the gutter. One day he was in sin. You can sit down, brother. Oh, Tater over there, stand up over there, Brother Tater. Everybody here knows Tater Sheehan, how he used to walk the railroad tracks up and down over here. And Brother Howie, probably drunk enough liquor to fill this building up at one time or another, and God saved him, and he's got a town, and he's going to heaven. Listen, if God can save Jay, God can save Tater, God can save you this morning. You can get saved today. You can get saved. You feel like, I'm just too big of a preacher. God can't do nothing for me. Yes, He can. Yes, He can. You say, God won't have nothing to do with me. I've done too much wrong. I know a man in the Bible that his, you know what he done before he got saved? He had Christians put in jail. He had Christians beat. He had Christians tortured. And God spoke to him on the road to Damascus. And God struck him down with that blinding light, turned him around, made one of the greatest preachers that the world's ever seen. He wrote over half the New Testament. His name, the Apostle Paul. Let me tell you something. David, back there in the Old Testament, had a man killed, murdered, stole his wife, adultery. But God used him as one of the greatest men in the Bible. If God can save Paul, God can save David, God can save you this morning. I don't care what you've done. You may be out on parole right now, or on bond. You may be here this morning and have $1,000 a week drug debt. You may be thinking, God can't do nothing for me. I'm telling you this morning, don't use that for an excuse. God can help you. The Lord said, I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Nobody here has sinned so much that God won't forgive you. His blood takes care of all of them. Number three, some people say there's too much to give up. This person is usually thinking about worldly pleasures or material things. But yet, when you think about that, sometimes God lets things happen in your life to show you just how quick you can lose everything. Have you ever been going down the road and maybe somebody just come out of nowhere and almost run into you or almost have a wreck and all of a sudden it just hits you, boy, just how quick everything can go? There were, this week, Friday at lunchtime, many thousands of people went to work in that big tower, the tower in New York City, World Trade Center. Normal day, one of the largest, strongest buildings on planet Earth. About 12 o'clock, that bomb went off. Some maniac had put that inspired by the devil. That thing went off and shook that building. The smoke went up those elevator shafts, up those stairwells. And just like that, on a normal day's work, 5 people killed, over 1,000 people injured. They didn't know what had happened. Just boom! All of a sudden, they saw people come out of there choking, getting in ambulances, riding off to the hospital, maybe cuts, glass falling everywhere. People realized just how quick everything in this world can go, just like that. We get so used to it. We think, I can't get saved because I couldn't give up this and my lifestyle and all these wonderful things that I have. Listen, brother, that stuff can go just like that. And will.
too much.
As far as it's set forth in the Word of God,
one of these days you'll give it up. Somebody said one time, I don't feel like I'm saved.
I wish I could tell you. I've dealt with people. Let's see, a young lady just 2 weeks ago, she called me. She said, can I talk to you? I said, yes, ma'am. We sat down, we talked, I don't know how long, an hour and a half, I guess. And her whole problem was, she said, I know what the Bible says. I know that I've asked the Lord to save me. I know that I feel like, but she said, I just don't feel like I'm saved. I tried to explain to her, there is nowhere in the Bible where it says that feeling has anything to do with salvation. It don't say it. Do you hear me? There's nowhere in the Bible where it says feeling has anything to do with salvation. So many people think, how come I don't feel saved? Listen, brother, being saved is putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You put, watch me put my faith on this pulpit, see? I'm going to put my faith in it right now. Whoa, I tore it down. I'm putting my faith on it right here, see? By faith, I put my weight on this pulpit, and it holds me up. Now, that's what you do in the Lord. By faith, you rest your soul on Him. Rest your soul. Feeling has nothing to do with it. You know what a lot of people do? They get the cart before the horse. The Bible teaches us it goes like this. It goes fact, faith, and then feeling. You get the facts straight, then you exercise faith in those facts, and then, boy, when you know you're forgiven, you have a wonderful feeling. But too many people want to turn that around. They can't understand why they can't have a feeling first. They say, if I'm saved, why don't I feel it? If I could feel it, I could believe it. You don't feel it before you believe it. You got to believe it before you can feel it. You understand that? That's an excuse. You got to believe it before you'll ever feel anything. You'll never feel saved till you believe it. Reason you don't feel nothing, you don't believe nothing. And that's an excuse. Somebody else said, I'm good enough as I am. Some people think, well, if anybody gets to heaven, I guess I'll make it because I have good moral behavior. And I'll get there one day. This book says right here this morning, there is none righteous, no, not one. And the Bible says that if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. That means if you or anybody here is good enough to get to heaven by theirself, then Jesus Christ wasted His time dying on the cross. You say, I just don't feel like I'm saved, preacher. You feel like you're married? Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't, right? Now you either are or you ain't. It ain't got nothing to do with your feelings. See? That's the way being saved is. Sometimes I don't feel like a preacher. See? Sometimes I don't feel like getting up in the morning. You don't live your life by what you feel at any given moment. If the only time you're saved is when you feel like you're saved, you better hope you happen to die while you feel good. Ain't that right? You're not saved by how you feel. You're saved because you put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and God says, that's it. That's a ticket. That's what I'm looking for. Amen. Last thing I'll say this morning, some people use the excuse, I can't give up my sin. Nobody has ever really been saved who said that and meant it. It must be repentance. I've talked to so many people that said, preacher, I want to get saved. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I've got this one thing that I don't want to let go of. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's an illicit relationship outside of marriage. Maybe it's a job or money or something. Just one thing. And you think, I just cannot give it up. Now, the truth is this morning,
That is a lie. You can give it up. There ain't no sin that you get rid of. Wait till you get smitten and you're about to die in the hospital. You'll quit it then. The truth is, it's not that you can't quit. The truth is, you're not willing to quit. You're using that for an excuse. Now, I want to ask you something this morning. I want to ask you two or three questions, and I want you to listen real. I know this is an unusual message for me just to take a few minutes like this and talk quiet, but I honestly feel like it's what the Lord wants me to do this morning in the bottom of my soul. I feel like there's people here this morning that deep down in your heart, you know that you've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting to get right with God, and you're just making excuses. And you're just making excuses. And if you're not careful, that excuse is going to wind you up in hell fire one day, and you'll never, ever, ever get out. I want to ask you this morning, if you'll bow your heads, close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No talking, no looking around. Now the question I want to ask you this morning is, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one talking. The question I want to ask you right now is, if you died today, would you go to heaven? If you died right now, and you had to die today, this is the last day you'd ever have on this earth. Do you know where you'd go? No talking, no moving around. Everyone, be real still and quiet, praying. God's speaking to your heart this morning. I'm going to ask you a personal question. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'd like for you this morning, if you say, "Preacher, you told me the truth, and I'm not ready to meet God. And right now, I'm not saved. I've never been saved. I have never been saved. Please pray for me." Would you pray for you this morning? If you'll do it, I promise you, we'll pray for you this morning. We'll not come to you. We're not going to embarrass you. But I sure would like to pray with you before you leave this morning. Would you just say, "Preacher, I'm not saved, but I'd like for you and the church to pray for me." Would you just slip up your hand? Take it right back down. Let us pray for you this morning. Anywhere, anywhere, God bless you. Anywhere? Anyone else? God bless you, ma'am. Bless you. That's two. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Say, "Preacher, I know I'm not saved. Please pray for me." All right, I tell you what I want us to do this morning. I want you to pray. And we're going to pray for you that lifted your hands. Why don't you do something about that thing this morning, young man, young lady? Your excuses ain't going to amount to nothing when you stand before God. The Lord wants to forgive you this morning, and He wants to save you. And He wants you to be a part of His family. If you'll come to this altar this morning, there'll be somebody here to pray with you and talk with you and show you how to get saved. Don't leave here today until you do that. Father, I pray especially for these that lifted their hands this morning. God, this is the most important moment of their life for some of them. God, I know that their souls hanging in the balance right now. Lord, we know that no work on this earth is as important as what we're doing right now, as dealing with souls. Dear God, help that one, that boy, that girl that lifted their hands to make this the glad day when they'll walk down the aisle and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Oh God, help them to do it.
Just we've seen these others like Tater did, like Jerry did, like others did. Dear Lord, help them to make it easy for them to do it right now. We'll praise you. We'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand and sing this morning. God's speaking to your heart. You need to come. Let's stand and sing. Just get down out of your seat. You that lifted your hands, just get out of your seat and come on right now. Come on. Come on right now. Let's pray. Just get out of your seat. Amen. Come on. Come on right now. Just get out of your seat and come. Let the Lord help you. Just kneel here at the front. Let God have His way in your heart. Come on. Come on right now. Move right now. Come to the altar. God will help you if you'll come. Amen.
Amen.
Come on. Come on. Just get out of your seat and come right now. This is your chance. This is your chance. Come on. Come on. Just get out of your seat and come right now. There'll be somebody here to pray with you right here. Just get it right with God. Come on right now.
As I am and waiting.
Amen. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. The door's open. The door's open. Right now's your chance. Come on right now. If you need to come, you need to come. Move right now. Somebody will be here to pray with you. Get it settled. Get it right. Move right now.
Cleanse each spot. Sing
it, everybody.
Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Get out of it. Quit making excuses. Quit making excuses. Get it right. Get it right. We're going to sing another verse. Now, I want everybody in the church to sing. Most of you know this song by heart. God's dealing with your heart. You don't have an excuse. You don't have an excuse. The Lord said, come. All things are now ready. As we sing this second verse this morning, why don't you just let the Lord deal with you? Why don't you make up your mind right now, I'm going. I'm tired of it. I'm going to get it settled. Just like the doctor. Boy, you dread it. But boy, when you do it, you feel good and you're glad you got it over with. Let the Lord take that old sin out of your heart. Young people, mamas and daddies, let the Lord do it for you this morning. Will you do it? We'll see. Everybody, everybody, come on, come on right now, come on. Come on right now, just move out of your seat.
Thou wilt receive.
Move out of your seat right now, come on.
Welcome,
Father. Let the Lord help you right now.
Cleanse, release.
Let God speak to your heart. Move out right now, move out right now.
Thou promised I be. Of God I come.
All right, while she's still playing, the two young ladies that are supposed to join the church this morning, y'all come on. And Charlie, y'all come right quick. While they're still playing and waiting. Lord may be dealing with your heart this morning. He is.
You ought to
get things right before you leave here. Brother Charles Blackwell and his wife come to join the church this morning, along with LaVon Patrick and Kim Ellington. And we talked to these girls the other night here and talked to Charlie here a while back. And they've all been saved, been baptized, want to stand by the church, live for the Lord. Some want to make a motion. Second, all in favor, let me know with an uplifted hand. Amen. They come to join the church. You'll come around and give them the right hand of fellowship. Just a minute. Before you go, let me mention a thing or two right quick. We need to meet at 6:30 with the harvesters and reapers in the men's choir room. 6:30, harvesters and reapers. All of you need to be here. Everybody that's on that list, come. We're going to get visits assigned. And then the choir will be at 5:30 this evening. Ladies' prayer room at 6:45 sharp. And don't miss it. Come back tonight.